Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM, good morning. So in 2018, 12 young soccer players and their coach had become trapped in a cave in Thailand. Now the world watched on and they were horrified as rescue efforts failed and the plight of the group became gravely serious. Watching it unfold, British diver John Vallanthan knew he was needed there. And what happened next is really the stuff of a Hollywood blockbuster movie. John is on the line. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you, Jen?
I'm not too bad. Are you from Bristol? Are you living in Bristol?
I've been living in Bristol for 25 years, so I've been here quite a while. It's very close to the caves, both in Wales and also on Mendip. So it's a perfect location for a caver and a cave diver.
Lovely. I lived there for 5 years myself. It's a very hard place to leave, I have to say.
Indeed it is, but I've no plans to leave, but I'm certainly here for a while.
Okay, well, that's good. John, so let's talk about this. Like the rest of us, you were watching this awful story of 12 kids and their coach trapped in this cave. How quickly did you get out there?
We knew the story was unfolding very early on. Cave rescue is entirely voluntary, and usually across the world it's a small community. So we knew very early on, from within sort of 24 hours that the boys were trapped, that they were going to need help. But it took a little bit longer just to make the arrangements and get ourselves officially invited. So we arrived 5 days after the boys had been lost.
Can you tell me how the group got trapped and the situation they were in?
The Wild Boar football team were incredibly unlucky, and then after their initial bout of bad luck, I think they were probably charmed. They went into the Tam Luang cave. It wasn't raining at the time, but it had been raining the night before, and through probably an incredible piece of bad luck, the cave flooded behind them as they went in. So a low section in the cave filled with water, and it essentially trapped them in the cave. But then the rains continued, and the cave continued to fill, literally fill up full of water. So there was almost a mile of completely flooded passage that separated the boys from safety in the surface.
Wow, and 5 days they're in there when you got there. And rescue efforts before you arrived and had failed. Can you describe the scene when you got there?
When we arrived, it was absolute chaos. There were all sorts of agencies, all sorts of people milling around. None of them were cavers, cave divers or cave rescue, so they didn't really have direct experience or responsibility for what actually needed to happen. And so it seemed to us when we arrived that all of the people had almost forgotten what they were there for. I know that sounds quite a funny thing to say, but everybody was trying to do something, but not necessarily move towards finding and then extracting the boys.
I mean, this is your area of expertise. You are an experienced diver who has been involved in many rescues before. What were you feeling about this one?
I think the scale of this problem was the first thing that was daunting about it, really. It's quite a large number of people. Usually, cavers get trapped in small groups. It's quite unusual for a group such as large as this of 13 people to be trapped underground. And also, the situation seemed very volatile. As we arrived, the water was coming out of the cave literally like an underground river with rapids and all sorts. So there was a significant amount of problems and trepidation to actually even begin to consider finding the boys, let alone trying to get them out.
So talk me through what happened next. You had to assess how many people you were rescuing and how you'd get them out. Firstly, how did you feel when you discovered they were all alive?
Our first job was to find the boys, because there was no sense in trying to come up with a plan to get them out until we knew where they were.
Right.
And as you suggest, how many were alive. And given the volume of water we'd seen come out of the cave, there was no way that we considered that it was likely that any of them had survived. So to find all of them alive was an absolutely amazing outcome. When we found them, we could smell them in the chamber where they were located long before we saw them, and the smell was terrible. And we wrongly assumed that we were smelling rotting flesh. Really thought that the boys weren't going to survive. And yet, as we saw these lads start to come down a mud bank and we started counting, we eventually got to 13 and realised they were all alive.
Oh, my God. So you'd gone in, you locate, but getting them out was another thing. Was it at this point there was people around the world were offering help and solutions, which were considered? I mean, Elon Musk offered a submarine, didn't he?
He did. all sorts of people offered all sorts of help, some of which was more useful than others. I think it was really a team effort overall, and that probably is the most important thing to remember, I think. But I mean, some of the plans that people came up with were slightly outlandish, but perhaps many people, because they weren't familiar with the cave environment, didn't really understand what would work. They couldn't really picture the concept that we were operating in quite literally zero visibility, where you simply quite often couldn't see your hand in front of your face because the water was so turbid.
I mean, how did you feel considering, like, the eyes of the world were watching?
I wasn't particularly worried by the media. We tend to ignore media on cave rescues for some fairly good reasons. Quite often news is fed in sort of certain ways. If there is news, good or bad, that relatives need to be told first, for instance, that's often quite carefully managed. So we don't generally speak or engage with the press during a rescue, and we're obviously quite focused and very busy. So the fact that, as you suggest, that the eyes of the world were on us, I don't think I really realised till I got back to the UK. I landed in Heathrow and a Thai lady came running up to me and offered me a box of chocolates.
Oh, bless.
At that moment, I perhaps realised that certainly we'd gathered a lot more attention than perhaps we thought we had.
So how did you get them out then?
Rick, my dive partner, and I took the rather drastic decision of deciding that we wouldn't swim the boys through the cave as it was unless we could sedate them in some way. From our experience, we knew that taking them through a mile of flooded passage, a journey that was going to take 3 or 4 hours, would almost certainly result in them panicking at some point, probably killing themselves and possibly the diver that was carrying them. So we enlisted the help of a colleague of ours, an Australian doctor and a cave diver, Dr. Richard Harris. And we initially asked him if it was possible to sedate the boys. And he was kind of horrified. He said, absolutely not. But eventually he agreed to come out to Thailand and see the boys' predicament for themselves. And once he'd seen that, and once he realised that quite simply, if they all stayed, or whoever stayed, they simply wouldn't survive, he did agree to help us and sedate the boys. And so the boys came out completely asleep, as it were. They had no knowledge of their journey out through the cave.
That's the dream.
Which I think was for the best.
Oh my God, what a decision. So how did you sedate them?
They were injected initially by Dr. Harris with, amongst other drugs, ketamine, which is a specifically chosen drug because it doesn't suppress the respiratory system. Our key requirement was to keep them breathing underwater. That was obviously the most important thing, to be able to get them out alive. And that was through a vast amount of consultation with all of his peers, anaesthetists and so on, that was decided to be the best option. And then we needed to essentially redose them on the way out should they begin to stir or wake up. So it was a fairly complex operation to get them out.
But you did it. I mean, it must have taken hours and hours. You said it was 3 hours going through the passage. How long did it take you to get them all out?
We brought out 4 boys per day. This is something I've detailed in a book that I've written about this. It was really a 3 or 4 day operation to bring all the boys to the surface. It needed to be very steady. It wasn't anything to rush.
You mentioned there you've documented this, and you have. The book is called 13 Lessons to Save 13 Lives. When you were writing it, John, were you astounded at what you had accomplished?
Not really.
Oh, John, come on, just say you're brilliant.
I think I wanted to write a book partly to tell the inside story of the rescue because there's been a lot of misinformation. But also, I think the lessons part is really the important thing for me. It's very easy to see something and want to either emulate it or to offer inspiration, but that's not really my style. What I wanted to do was to try and offer some tools that can be used to actually achieve the goals that we have in life, and not just in caves, but also in normal or everyday life. Even things as simple as applying for mortgages, standing up in front of a group of people to give a presentation, all of those things sometimes can cause fear and anxiety. And so the book really, although it tells the inside story of the rescue, is designed specifically to address many of those sort of common fears and provide tools that we can use to overcome them.
Well, if I'm ever trapped in a cave, I'm keeping this number and I'm going to say, call John. He's the man. He's the man for the job. Speaking about the inside story in the book, I obviously don't want you to give too much away, but you mentioned there was a lot of misinformation. And it sounds like when you got there was like an awful lot of cooks trying to, you know, do the same thing. What kind of misinformation?
Quite often, when there's a vacuum of information about any event, people make things up. And there was a lot of information, really, about how the boys were brought out and how the search progressed that wasn't necessarily particularly accurate or particularly realistic. For me, it's an opportunity to set the record straight from a diving and technical point of view. But also, as I said, to offer some of those techniques, as I've called them, lessons that can be applied both to diving and also
and
to
life.
Ordinary life.
Yeah, amazing.
Exactly.
And speaking of documenting what happened, Hollywood has come knocking. Your story is being made into a movie, and none other than our very own Colin Farrell is playing you.
You're right. I'm highly honoured. I am highly honoured. Colin Farrell is an absolutely sound person. I spend a fair bit of time with him on Zoom.
Oh, good. Can he even swim?
He's been diving.
Oh, good.
And, he's done an absolutely fantastic job. I think he's learned to dive. I've been impressed by his attention to detail and also Ron Howard, who's directing the movie. They've made a really, really strong effort to try and get all of the detail right.
And exactly. It's great that you're you're very much involved in that, but forget about the movie. You need to read the book. It's an amazing book and it will definitely inspire the reader. 13 Lessons to Save 13 Lives. It is actually out now. John, thank you so much for joining me on the show. You're an absolute hero. You're so modest. I feel very privileged to have you on the show. So thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.